The Fruitful Servant,
Preparation for Productive Christian Service,
by Andrew Jerome Young.
Session 1. Those who live in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit. Purpose of this course. The objective of these talks is to lead the Lord's servants to greater oneness with Christ in love, so that they may cooperate more effectively with the Holy Spirit to bear good and lasting fruit for the Lord. The teachings are mostly from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The harvest is ready. Jesus says, "Do you not have a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around you. Look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to do his harvesting." Who are God's laborers? When we pray the Creed at Holy Mass, among many other things, we confess our belief in one holy, Catholic,
and apostolic church. What does apostolic mean? Paragraph 858 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, "Jesus is the Father's emissary. From the beginning of his ministry, he called to him those whom he desired, and he appointed 12, whom he also called apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to preach. From then on, they would also be his emissaries," in Greek, apostoloi. In them, Christ continues his own mission. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you."
Besides the 12 apostles, who else are sent?
The Catechism of the Catholic Church gives the answer. The whole Church is apostolic, in that she remains, through the successors of St. Peter and the other apostles, in communion of faith and life with her origin, and in that she is sent out into the whole world. All members of the Church share in this mission, though in various ways. The Christian vocation is, of its nature, a vocation to the apostolate as well.
In other words, each member of the Church is to be a laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. What makes a laborer for God productive? The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, Christ sent by the Father is the source of the Church's whole apostolate. Thus, the fruitfulness of the apostolate for ordained ministers as well as for lay people clearly depends on their vital union with Christ. In keeping with their vocations, the demands of the times, and the various gifts of the Holy Spirit, the apostolate assumes the most varied forms. But charity, drawn from the Eucharist above all, is always, as it were, the soul of the whole apostolate. As you can see, the prerequisites for a fruitful laborer are A, vital union with Christ, and B, charity. Why is union with Christ necessary? Jesus says, "Dwell in me as I in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself, but only if it remain united with the vine. No more can you bear fruit unless you remain united with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who dwells in me as I dwell in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Paragraph 859 of the Catechism says, "As the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but receives everything from the Father who sent him, so those whom Jesus sends can do nothing apart from him, from whom they've received both the mandate for their mission and the power to carry it out." In session 1 of these talks, we concentrate on the first of the above-named requirements. Please bear in mind, though, that union with Christ and charity are inseparably connected. Each presupposes the other. The Sacraments of Initiation. Oneness with God begins at baptism. It is strengthened at confirmation and then nourished by the food of the Eucharist. But baptism is the opening step of the process. Holy baptism is the basis of the whole Christian life, the gateway to life in the Spirit. God life. In the Gospel, God life is referred to as eternal life, or life, or the kingdom. We will see these terms in the scripture quotations of this session. Here are some examples of Jesus' use of them. "I am the resurrection and the life. In very truth I tell you, Whoever heeds what I say and puts his trust in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come to judgment, but has already passed from death to life. The coming of the kingdom of God cannot be observed, and no one will announce, "Look, here it is," or "There it is," for behold, the kingdom of God is among you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This life comes to a person right now. He has eternal life. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Baptism. The grafting of plants provides a nice analogy to what happens at baptism. In grafting, a live twig is taken and inserted into a cut in the stem of a living plant. It is then securely held in place. With proper care and nourishment, the twig takes on life from the living plant and grows. Something comparable occurs with baptism, and so St. Paul speaks of Christians as being baptized into Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, the life I now live is not my life, but the life which Christ lives in me. Means of union with Christ. Through baptism, human beings enter into the life of God, and those who allow it and charity to increase in them will eventually bear good fruit. How do we remain and grow in this divine life?
The following texts suggest ways for this.
The first set of citation points us to Holy Communion. We heard this quote from the Catechism above, but charity, drawn from the Eucharist above all, is always, as it were, the soul of the whole apostolate. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I draw life from the Father, so whoever eats me will also draw life from me. The bread which I shall give is my own flesh, given for the life of the world. The second set of citations invite us to believe in Jesus. Anyone who believes in the Son has eternal life, for it is my Father's will that everyone who sees the Son and has faith in him should have eternal life. The third set tells us to listen to Jesus. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself commanded me what to say and how to speak. I know that his commands are eternal life.
Jesus' Father tells us,
"This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." The fourth urges us to do what Jesus says and not just listen. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine, but does not act on them, will be like a fool who built his house on sand.
Jesus' mother says,
"Do whatever he tells you." There is only one quotation in the fifth saying, "We must love God." And now a lawyer stood up and, to test him, asked, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered right. Do this, and life is yours."
The final set of readings gives us the example that we are to pray.
The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray.
Now it happened that he was in a certain place praying, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, this is what to say: Father, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come."
Session 2. You must love the Lord your God. You must love your neighbor. So far, we have said that every member of the church is called upon to be sent out to work for Jesus. We have also indicated that the most fruitful workers are those united to him in charity. We therefore reminded everyone about the sacraments of initiation, which began, strengthened, and still nourishes our union with God. We now turn to the other interrelated part of the prerequisite for effective service, charity, caritas, the translation of the Latin word for love. Why is love necessary? St. Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If I have not charity, says the apostle, I am nothing. Whatever my privileged service or even virtue, if I have not charity, I gain nothing. Grace, by uniting us to Christ in active love, ensures the supernatural quality of our acts and consequently their merit before God and before men. Love God. Jesus says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. How should a person love our Lord? Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands. Whoever holds to my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will keep my word." Effects of loving God. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. The person who keeps Jesus' word will receive the Father's love, and will be united with him and Jesus even more closely, because they will be living in him. Whoever holds to my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I shall love him and reveal myself to him. Those who hold to Jesus' commandments will receive the love of the Father and that of the Son, and will possess a better knowledge of Jesus and his way through his promised self-revelation. If you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another to be your advocate, who will be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth.
You, who obey Jesus' commands, will have the Holy Spirit as your advocate.
The person who loves God can be trusted to feed and care for his people effectively. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Look after my sheep." Love your neighbor. In the above quotations, Jesus tells us repeatedly that to love him, we must keep his commandments. What does he command? He says, "This is my commandment to you, love one another." How to love one's neighbor. Some courses of action are suggested in the following four lengthy sayings of Jesus. The first one is from Matthew 25. Please look it up in your Bibles. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne with all the nations gathered before him. He will separate people into two groups, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'You have my Father's blessing. Come, take possession of the kingdom that has been made ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me. Truly I tell you, anything you did for one of my brothers here, however insignificant, you did for me. The second quotation is from Matthew 20. You know that among the Gentiles, rulers lord it over their subjects, and the great make their authority felt. It shall not be so with you. Among you, whoever wants to be great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The third saying is from Matthew 18. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full." Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he put him in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. This next final saying is from Luke 6. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also.
And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt.
Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you?
For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked.
Thank you.
Session 3. Go and sin no more. To be united with Christ in charity, we need to examine our behavior honestly and confess our sins. Let us begin by checking how we might be seeing ourselves and others. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.
Now, listen and think about how we may be speaking to those who live
and work with us. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, You fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. After all, brothers, you were called to be free. Do not use your freedom as an opening for self-indulgence, but be servants to one another in love, since the whole of the law is summarized in the one commandment. You must love your neighbor as yourself. If you go snapping at one another and tearing one another to pieces, take care. You will be eaten up by one another. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love and sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Now think about how we ought to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious, or boastful, or arrogant, or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The next scripture passage is the final one in this session. Please apply it to your own situation. When you hear John the Baptist warning, and do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father, let it mean something like this. And do not begin to say to yourselves, We come from a Catholic country. We have relatives who are priests and nuns. We are well connected with influential people in the hierarchy. We know a great deal about the politics that goes on inside the church, and so on. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, What then should we do? One thing we should do is to go to sacramental confession soon, and regularly thereafter, once a month, or even more frequently. Please remember that, even though Jesus was without sin, the first act of his public ministry was taking part in the baptism of repentance administered by John the Baptist, a man of whom Jesus said, The least in the kingdom of God is greater than he.